All right, here we are. It is Thursday evening, 7 o'clock, rainy, icy. I am sitting here virtually in a room with two of the most fantastic basketball minds known to great state of Vermont, known in this great state of Vermont. Benjamin Brink, you all know him, gentlemen and ladies. Benjamin Brink, assistant coach, varsity JV coach, just concluded a successful season. Someone that you may not know as much. Joshua Buda Hansen, former assistant coach at Bellows Falls, was on the staff when Bellows Falls made their first Berry Auditorium appearance in 23 years. And he was at the show last night. I call it a show because I don't think there was a better show anywhere in the state than the 8-9 matchup at Green Mountain. The fans were crazy. The student section was awesome. And what everyone got was a 2.5 hour slugfest, triple overtime, 67-62. Your Terriers take it home. First off, Josh, what were your thoughts, man? You were sitting up there in the top row, sitting behind the student section. What were you thinking?
It was a fun game to watch, first and foremost. I had a blast. Early in the fourth quarter there, it was tough, and I knew that you guys were gonna have to really dig deep to battle back. You know, I'd seen this group play a few times this year. I'm like, knew they had what it took. But you guys were down 11 going into the fourth quarter. I'm like, all right, let's buckle in here. And you guys got it close, had a chance there at the end of regulation to win it there, and then it goes to three overtimes that were just gut-wrenching. You know, every 4-minute period were just tough. We just wanted to see you guys come out on top. I just wanted to see something happen and get to that third overtime, and it was a slugfest all the way down to the last, I think it was the last 30 seconds till someone scored, and you know, Morgan hit that three and put you guys up. But yeah, no, it was just a super fun game to watch. One of the craziest high school basketball games I've seen.
I mean, yeah, Ben, you agree with that?
Yeah, totally. It took us a little while to get going there, but when we turned it on and played with heart and grit and determination, and it worked out for us. And it was definitely one of the craziest, if not the craziest, games that I've ever been a part of or seen at the high school level. No
I'll be
doubt.
definitive. I'll
No
be
doubt.
definitive. It was the craziest game I've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
From top down, the players that stepped up in the key situations, the fans made it, man. I mean, having that student section right behind our bench, obviously as a coach, you're kind of concerned that they're gonna, interfere with, the coaching process, but they didn't at all. They were so engaged. It was hundreds of people all solely focused on one thing. To me, what happened last night, it's sad that one of us had to lose. I'm sure as hell glad that it wasn't us, but that's what it's all about. I mean, I can't explain a better feeling than, all of those guys, all that whole community buying in for 2.5 hours. On the edge of their seat for 2.5 hours. I mean, and you want to break it down a little bit, Hansen. I mean, so a little bit of story about, all right, so you get a little background, guys, for anyone who doesn't know Hansen, all right. I met Hansen when he was in eighth grade at Guilford Center School. Hansen was the biggest guy. I remember I was refereeing some games. Hansen, well, I remember going there for my first game and seeing Hansen come out and start doing, warm-ups. And I'm like, holy crap, this is a big dude. Like, this guy's like big. He's broad, he looks very strong. And I was like, oh man, like this is gonna be interesting to play. Well, when Hansen came out on the floor, he couldn't catch, he couldn't make a layup, he couldn't pivot, he got muscled by smaller dudes, he got pushed over, and I think he cried a couple of times. So eighth grade here, there you go. There's Joshua Buda Hansen, right? So I start developing a relationship with Buda, and he starts playing AAU. He starts doing individual workouts. And all of a sudden, from eighth grade year to sophomore, he literally put in a 3-year body of work. And I won't say it was a light switch, Buddha, but all of a sudden there was just something where all of a sudden you look at him and you're like, this isn't a kid who can't catch and can't finish and who gets muscled under the hoop anymore. This is just a dominant player. I mean, when did that switch hit for you?
For me, I think I felt the most going, after that 3 year body of work. There was times my sophomore year that, I just wasn't playing well. I just wasn't really performing as a basketball player. But going into my junior year, I went in and looking back, I'm pretty confident I can say I went in as a, varsity ready player. So it was really that off season, is kind of when the flip switched for me. Going from the JV season to varsity season between sophomore and junior year.
Right, and then you start making a name for yourself, and you go on and you play at Castleton, and you are competing for minutes at Castleton. And guys, like, I just want you to put this in perspective. Like, this is a guy who literally couldn't catch a basketball. Like, at 8th grade, he's 6'2", probably a buck 70 at that point. Can't catch a basketball, can't make a layup, and he goes from that to being a college basketball player. So this isn't just someone that, just got lucky because he was big. No, I mean, he was big, but that was actually almost, to your detriment early on, because, you didn't develop that instinct until later when, you were getting hit with, sticks and stuff during summer training and running up, Memorial Hill. I mean, am I wrong there, Hanson? Yeah, you sounds like you're tongue-tied. Brink,
Oh, I mean,
I mean, you see the play, Brink. I mean, is he more of a, he's a polished big man now, right?
yeah, complete player, I would say.
So, all right, so Hanson's got the credentials. He got the street credentials. Everyone knows Brink's street credentials. Not only does he have the most beautiful smile, but he also knows his damn game of basketball and loves it. But let's go back. All right, let's go back to what happened last night, right? All right, Hanson. I mean, so for large chunks of the time, we had a lot of underclassmen, a lot of players with less experience. Can you explain kind of how important it is for those underclassmen, regardless of whether they were on the floor or just being there, like how important that is to building a program?
Yeah, no, definitely. It is. I don't, they won't recognize it, this week, after the season's done, but, 2 or 3 years' time, they're going to recognize how important it was to be a part of those games and to learn how to win, early in their high school career. Because if you look at on paper your roster and, who you had in those late moments, like it's tough for them to win against a group of upperclassmen like Green Mountain had. Those are guys that have been doing it longer, at a higher level. And just learning how to win those big moments that early in their career are just going to carry them a long way. Hopefully you're, in another position again where it's a tight game and you got to grind out another win. It doesn't take, you can be the most talented kid on the floor, but it takes a, you have to know how to win a game. It takes a special player to, pull out those games. And you had a few of those out on the floor for you last night.
Just making plays, right? One way or the other, making plays like we talked about all year. The one play, the one odd. It really did. I mean, the difference in the game last night came down to, a play. And but you can't look at that one play as being the reason, right? It was a series of plays that we won. And I think Ben, you were saying like before, in overtime, in any of the three overtimes, I don't think we lost a 50-50 ball.
No, I think we came down with, I think, every loose ball, every single one. And to me, that's where it starts, and that's where winning starts, with really fighting for every single inch and every rebound and everything that you can do other than just like shooting and scoring. And we did. We turned it on. I don't know when it was. I think that we started to find a little bit of our groove and the chip on our shoulder towards maybe the end of the third quarter, even though it didn't show up in the scoreboard right away. But somewhere along the way, we woke up and just started to fight. And to me, I think that made all the difference in the game.
Rebounding battle, right? I mean, what can you say? I want to give credit to everyone on the team. I wish I could sit here and talk about every single player on the team's contribution to yesterday's win. But a guy like Will Halleck, right? Will was struggling from the field, and you know what? Like you could see when he came back out on the floor in overtime, he just committed to winning the rebound battle. He had 20 rebounds yesterday, guys. 20. 20 rebounds. And it was just an effort thing. And for upperclassmen to be able to commit to that, to basically be like, listen, I'm just going to fight down between the blocks. I am just going to fight for space. I'm going to fight for rebounds. And that's like, that right there, those are the things. Those are the blue collar things, right, Hanson, that you started to really take pride in, that all of a sudden took you from being just a player who's big and maybe can, make a baby hook, to a guy who can impact a game for four quarters, and in our case, six quarters.
No, definitely. Those things are super important. I mean, Dennis Rodman, like, look at him. Like, he would go out and have 0 points and 20 rebounds on, it wasn't like a crazy occurrence for him. Like, that was kind of regular. It's just his role. And then, that happened to be Halleck's role last night, and he played it super well. It's guys like that that make winning plays. The extra possessions or closing possessions is even bigger, I think, than some of the extra possessions, is making sure that, who you're playing against isn't getting those extra shots. But every time you get an offensive rebound, it's a higher percentage look that you're going to end up getting than the first one. And it's tougher and tougher to get stops on each one of those. So really, closing possessions is really one of the biggest things you can do, and Halleck did a great job of that last night.
And we started to make free throws too, all of a sudden. Like, we couldn't hit free throws in the first half. And then we started to slowly get to the point where we were hitting free throws. And in overtime, we made some big ones down the stretch when they had gotten a lead and we kind of cut it back. I remember in the second overtime, they hit an opening three and we were able to hit some free throws to kind of get us back. And then, I mean, the ups and downs of last night. I mean, there were literally like, six, it felt like six game-winning shots. Like shots that basically, if they went in, we were like, they were gonna win or we were gonna win. I mean, I thought Saul's in the first overtime, I thought that was wet when he let it go. Eli, when he got that steal, and you got to give credit to the point guard for Green Mountain getting back and getting that block, and that's a captain right there, guys. He turned the ball over two times before that. But then he makes that type of play down the stretch. And yeah, he didn't finish there. But to take that possession away from them and to give us a chance to win, and then in turn, that also gave us the chance to play another overtime. I mean, you can't put a dollar figure on that.
No, you can't. And I'm thinking about the attitude that we had on defense towards the end of the game. Because if you remember, the first time we played Green Mountain, we lost this season. And I can remember sitting on the bench and watching that game and kind of gritting my teeth because to me, it felt like we weren't really attacking while we were on defense. Like we weren't trying to get steals. We weren't trying to create chaos. Or anything like that. And I think if you look at the way that we played last night towards the end of the game, the number of defensive possessions that we had, whether we got a turnover or not, that started with one of our players just getting their fingertip on a pass. Just the slightest misdirection, making things a little bit more wild, I think just like played a huge role. I mean, there was a point where it's just it felt like Green Mountain they couldn't make a clean pass because we were just all up in their grill, so to speak.
And you
And
talk about conditioning, right?
yeah.
Three overtimes. I've never been involved in a three overtime game before. Hanson, have you?
Never.
Never. And so who's like really, it came down to who was in better shape, who had more legs. And we had the legs. And you want to talk about where you build that, right? You build that by us running Cemetery Hill early in the season. You build that by taking your conditioning seriously every single day in practice. You build that by the grind. And we won that game and we gave ourselves an opportunity because we ground. So now, all right. So I'm going to enjoy that win for about another, what do we got? Maybe less than 24 hours, about 20 hours. I'm going to enjoy it for about another 20 hours. And then we got practice. We got one practice to get ready for the next game. Josh, obviously we know why River Valley's good. They're 20, 21 and 0 now after they beat Stowe last night. What do you have to do when you're playing, when you are, we're an underdog, and we got to embrace that. But what do you got to do to pull out a game in an underdog situation like we got facing us on Saturday.
To your guys' benefit is that there's no pressure on you guys. Not a lick. Everyone on the outside looking in is, writing you guys off. But you guys just go in and you guys can play free, which is to your benefit, like I said. And unfortunately for White River, they have the pressure of being undefeated. They got to defend that to get to Barry. An insurmountable amount of pressure with that. You look at some of the previous undefeated teams in the playoffs last few years, Fairhaven and there's one other team in D2 last year that were both undefeated that didn't make it to the championship game. In the playoffs, anything can happen. It's
So you gotta, but we got one practice to get ready, right? You got one practice to get ready. And obviously, Coach Craven, I got a lot of respect for him and what he's done at White River Valley. And, I don't, on the off chance that he actually listens to these things, I don't want to talk about specifics, X's and O's and that kind of stuff. I don't want to give him any more of a hand than he's already got with having the length and the shooting ability and the experience that he's got, right? But in these types of games, it's all about breaking it up into mini games. And we talk about that. Like, if you're down, like we were down 15 in the third quarter. And when we took a timeout, we looked at everyone and we said, we just got to break this into mini games. We just got to win the mini games. That's it. And when you're playing a team like White River, you've just got to win more of the mini games than they do. It's not like you got to win them all. You just got to win 51%. And if you do that, you've got an opportunity. And the way to win those mini games, right, is to do exactly the Will Hallock effect, like he had last night. Extra possessions, stops, rebounds, winning the rebounding battle. All of those little things are going to allow us to stay in a game. And the longer you stay in a game where you have no pressure, the chances of you pulling it out continue to increase. I mean, bad. I should be there. Yeah, I mean, I know I'm good, Ben, but come on, man. Like, I need some support here from my
You're
coaching staff.
right. I mean, it's I think the former Butler coach turned Celtics coach,
He
now
sucks.
general manager of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens.
Celtics suck. Sorry, continue. Go ahead.
Well, I heard him say something like, in basketball, you play every possession as hard as you can for 48 minutes, and that's NBA, but in this case it's 32. We play every possession as hard as we possibly can for 32 minutes. That's the best that we can do, and then we'll see what happens. But I think that not focusing necessarily on the result, but focusing on our effort in every single possession, every inch, playing those mini games, those tiny little mini games, is critical. It reminds me of, this is kind of cheesy, but have you seen Any Given Sunday?
Oh yeah, of
The speech
course.
with Al Pacino,
Yeah.
life is a game of inches. I mean, I think that needs to be our approach. It should always be our approach, and just fight and claw for every single inch.
So at the college level, Josh, when you're scheming for a, specific opponent, right? You got a scouting report. I mean, how much time in that practice leading up to that game are you focusing on just understanding and getting some reps in that specific scouting report?
Yeah, we're gonna spend a lot of time going over, whoever's next on the schedule, like their sets, their their players' tendencies, things like that, things they look to, and just going over their stuff and how we're gonna defend and what we're gonna throw at it to try to throw them off. I would say there's been times, there were times that we'd spend, over half the practice going on. We'd still do our stuff, focus on us, but sometimes we spend more time focusing on, what they're gonna do and trying to, throw that off.
I mean, I'm not an X's and O's, I'm not a huge lover of strict X's and O's. I know Hanson, when you coached with me, you were a little bit more focused on that, which is what made us a good team. There is a law in a game like this where you compare it like to a Green Mountain game, right? Like, that is all about execution, right? That a game like that where, you're all about, focusing on your repetitions, getting your shots in, just capitalizing. And but in a game like this, there is just much more, kind of an educational component to it, where you have to carry out your game plan, you have to be disciplined. And now I just hope that our guys see fully that we're down 15 points. We're not out of it. We've won two games this year where we were down 15 points in the third quarter, Twin Valley and now Green Mountain. And there have been other games where we have been down. Woodstock was another one where they went up, as many as eight against us, and we were able to battle back. So there should be no panic if we fall behind, on Saturday, right? You've got to stick to the game plan and not try to do too much too quickly.
I absolutely agree. And it's easy when you get down, 11, 12, 13, 14 points to try to score all those at once, right? You come down, try to hit the home run play. And then, we would say this a lot last year. It's just like, we're just rattling off singles. We don't need the home run play. Just keep getting on base. Basketball's a game of runs. You string a few of those together. You get six or seven, you stop them to just maybe one basket, get another run, six or seven, and they're looking at a single digit game, two, 3 points. And that can all happen in, half a period.
I mean, it was fun to watch it last night. There was a point in the fourth quarter where I had this feeling, and I don't know about you, Ben, but when we got it to five with 3 minutes to go, I remember distinctly me standing there and being like, holy shit, we're gonna win this thing. And there was just like that quick rush, and obviously there was a lot left to do as the game played out, but to have that feeling, like where you could just see it because you've spent so much time with these guys and you could just see it. You could see it in their eyes. You could see it in their body language. You could just see it. You're like, holy shit, we are going to do this. And they did. And they did. That's why you throw the ball up, right? You don't just give a state championship to the person who's had the most, wins in the regular season. That's why there are upsets in March Madness every year. You guys want some inspiration? Go back. I forget the exact year. UMBC, America East, University of Maryland, Baltimore County versus the University of Virginia. UMBC, 16 seed, University of Virginia, one seed. The first time ever in the history of March Madness for a 16 seed to beat a one seed. And then it happened again just a couple years later. It happens. And win a game like that, it's got to be full-on belief, almost to the point where you are blind to everything else. You got tunnel vision. We can do this. I don't care about any of the sound around. We can do this.